Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guests are Brett Weiler and Amanda Kachurka from the Erie Regional Chamber and Growth Partnership. Thanks so much for joining us, guys. Brett, let's start with you. For those that don't know, what is Erie Homecoming? And I understand there is many differences this year in light of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yeah, so the concept of Erie Homecoming, I would say, is analogous to your standard university homecoming. And it's based on the premise that we believe that there is a vast network of former Erie residents spread about the country that have achieved some level of personal, professional, or financial success. And they're interested in learning about how they can give back to their community. So homecoming is a lot like a homecoming event. We want to bring folks back, get them excited about all of the positive developments that are occurring in the market, and then lay out a roadmap for them that will say, hey, here's how you can reinvest or contribute or participate in what we see as a once-in-a-generation positive economic evolution here in Erie. And like you said, the event this year is going to be different in that we will not be able to have a live in-person event, but we will have a virtual event. And that means that we will have a two-day conference that will be delivered online to our attendees. It will be a mix of live presentations in studio, live panel discussions, pre-recorded content, and we're even going to try to facilitate some unique virtual networking opportunities. So a little bit different. The premise remains, though, that we have a really great story to tell, and we want to engage our former Erie residents and compel them to help us and contribute to some of the positive development that's occurring in Erie.
Who should attend Erie Homecoming?
So generally speaking, anybody who loves Erie and wants to contribute to the work that's currently being done to make this a better community. So we want all of our community leaders and advocates in Erie to participate. We also, again, know there's a vast network of former residents that whether they went to school here, they grew up here, they had a job here at one time. We know that most of those people that have had to leave still look back fondly on their time in Erie and are looking at ways in which they can help Erie move forward. And so we're looking for people who are in position to invest their time, money, or resources into helping Erie, again, maintain this positive momentum that we're experiencing.
This event is really a chance to reinvest, right?
Yeah, correct. So last year we saw the announcement of a $50 million opportunity zone fund from Erie Insurance. They've been putting that money to work over the last year. We saw a number of other high-profile projects that were featured at Homecoming last year that have since received funding or are still in serious discussions with investors. So again, our goal is to catalyze investment for projects here in Erie that we think will have a positive social and economic impact. And we've seen that from last year's event. We just want to double down again this year and put more good projects forward and hopefully connect folks with those with the resources to make an investment.
Could you give us a preview?
So we will be presenting what I would say is a roadmap for individuals. It will tell them how they can contribute to the Erie economic evolution. And it will be a multitude of opportunities, whether it's a technology company raising money, whether it's a Erie nonprofit institution who is in a capital campaign. Perhaps it's opportunities for individuals to mentor students in our public school systems. So we're going to give people a wide variety of opportunities to invest, and we define investment by, again, people who have the resources, the time, money, energy, and connections to help us continue to move the ball down the field.
Who's speaking at Erie Homecoming?
Yeah, so we will have some familiar faces from last year. Our friend, well-known urbanist Bruce Katz, formerly of the Brookings Institution, has agreed to speak again this year, as well as his friend and our friend Rick Jacobs, who is the CEO of Accelerator for America, one of our most important national partners. We also know that Tim NeCastro, CEO of Erie Insurance, is going to make some remarks about some of the progress and things that they've done over the past year. And I would say that I think it's highly likely that we'll see someone like a Jonathan Tower, who's the founding managing partner of the Arcteris Impact Investment Group, talk to our participants and our attendees about what he sees in Erie and why he's made the $40 million commitment to the Erie market. And then we have a couple other folks in the social impact investing world, some policymakers, some thought leaders, some business leaders that we're continuing to have conversations with about participating both at the local and national level. So it's going to be a wide variety of presentations over the 2 days.
Brett, what is the goal of Erie Homecoming?
So again, the goal of Erie Homecoming is to reorient those former residents, to show them, you know, all of the positive development and momentum that we're experiencing, and then show them very explicitly about how they can contribute to this ongoing momentum. And again, we want to give them a very detailed list that says, here's, you know, 20 different ways in which you can reinvest in your community. We will help you figure it out, facilitate the appropriate introductions, with the hope that, again, that we're catalyzing investment and development that will have a positive impact on our economy and the quality of life for people in Erie.
Any final thoughts on Erie Homecoming?
Yeah, so the event will be held October 29th and 30th. Again, it's a virtual event, and people can learn more about the event at homecoming.eriepa.com. And the one ask I would have for your listeners is if you know family or friends or former colleagues who have since moved away but still love Erie, share the information about the event with them and compel them to participate. You know, the unique aspect of homecoming this year is that it's virtual and they can participate from their home, their office, the beach, wherever it is that they do work. So that's the one ask I would have for your listeners today.
Brett, I would imagine that there's some real advantages to a virtual event.
Yeah. So, you know, in full candor, when we realized that we probably weren't going to have a live in-person event this year, you know, I think the initial reaction was disappointment. But I think that we quickly realized that the virtual delivery actually gives us a number of advantages. It gives us an advantage from a speaker and presentation standpoint, where we may be able to bring in some high-level speakers that won't have to fly into Erie, book a hotel room, take off work. I would say the same thing for our attendees. We believe that we can reach a larger audience and offer a more flexible presentation for them. Some of the pricing options that we'll be offering is not only do you have access to the content live on October 29th and 30th, but you may have access to the content for several months so that you can watch the presentations and hear the speakers at your own convenience. So absolutely, virtual homecoming gives us an opportunity to reach a much larger audience, in our opinion.
Brett, thanks so much for your time. Let's bring in Amanda Kacharka. She's the program director at the Erie Regional Chamber of Growth Partnership. Amanda, can you tell us about the educational programs coming up throughout the rest of this month?
Absolutely. So we have a lot of programming scheduled for August, actually. So the first program that we have, and actually we've gotten some questions about the Erie Ambassador program. So I believe the last time I was on, I talked a little bit about that, but we've decided in talking with our hosts, locations, and in talking internally that it just makes sense not to offer the program this year. A lot of the value of the Erie Ambassador program really lies with getting to go to these business locations and tour them and, you know, meet some of the staff and, you know, hear from the owner of the business about what goes on there. And we just don't feel that we can do that safely, you know, with the large size of the ambassador classes. We'd have to cut those down and potentially have multiple sessions. Then there's the factor of bringing outside people into an organization. And, of course, business owners are very concerned about keeping their employees safe right now. So we decided it just makes sense not to offer it for this year. So we do plan to resume that in 2021, hopefully in late spring. But in lieu of the ambassador class, we're going to offer what we're calling a leadership master class. So part of the value of the Erie Ambassador program is really getting to build your leadership skills, meet other leaders in the community, and learn about what's happening sort of behind the scenes to move Erie forward. So this leadership masterclass is really addressing the leadership skill building side of that. So we're excited to partner with Chris Harbin. He is a professor at Penn State Behrend, but he also runs a pretty cohesive and extensive leadership program over in Ohio that he has very graciously offered to give us a couple modules of that for this leadership masterclass. So on consecutive Tuesdays, August 18th, 25th, and September 1st, we'll be meeting for an hour each of those days virtually. And Dr. Harbin's going to be going through three pieces that really help to make successful leaders. So the first session is looking at motivation theories. You know, in order to be an effective leader and a leader that people want to follow, you need to have a good understanding of their motivations. So, you know, when I want to do something, or I do better than when I have to do something. So that the first day is really setting the stage for the rest of the workshop. So then the second session, which is on August 25th, is going into change theory and bias. So looking at understanding how people process change, certainly something that we're all undergoing a significant amount of right now. Chris is really helping you understand how people can process change differently, and how as a leader you can sort of convene everyone around these changes that need to happen and get everybody rowing in the right direction. And then the third session, which is on September 1st, is looking at something called the GROW model. So I'm sure many leaders have, or aspiring leaders have, gone through programs like Myers-Briggs or DISC assessment. So this is really looking at understanding your own personal leadership style, regardless of your personality type, and how you can apply those leadership skills in different situations. So really comprehensive program that we're very excited to be offering. So again, that starts on August 18th and goes through September 1st each Tuesday. So that's our sort of in lieu of the ambassador program this year. So if you are interested in the ambassador program, you want to still build your leadership skills, this is a great way to do it. So that's the first program. Second program we have, back in February, we started a diversity, equity, and inclusion series. And our first session was presented by Tisha Nesbitt from Erie Insurance. She did a phenomenal job explaining how to find your D&I why. So I think part of tackling a diversity, equity, and inclusion strategy for a company, the business owner really needs to understand why it's so important to them personally, and also why it's important to the company. So Tisha took the attendees through some exercises that helped them identify that, which was great. So now we've gone through that, and the next step is, okay, I want to create this strategy, but I'm not really sure how to do it. So we're very excited to bring Dr. Paul Davids Bradley, who is out of the Pittsburgh market. He is the Assistant Vice President of Diversity and Inclusion for Dollar Bank, and he also owns his own organization called Care-Based Leadership, LLC. And so he is going to be going through sort of the how and the why of creating a diversity, equity, and inclusion strategy for your business. So I think with a lot of the social unrest that's been happening in the last several months, particularly. Many companies came out and made statements about addressing diversity, equity, and inclusion in their companies. And unfortunately, I think maybe some of that was done without a clear path forward, because this is a big issue, right? There's a lot to tackle here. So Dr. Spradley is really going to help companies that are maybe floundering a little bit with creating these strategies to really get that clear path forward so they can identify the appropriate next steps. And we are planning to have two more sessions in this series that are probably going to go into next year, because I think, frankly, we're just going to run out of time in 2020 to do them all. But we also want to feature some local resources in the third session, feature some local resources that exist to help employers, but also that they need to be aware of to be able to direct their employees to should they require some additional guidance. So programs like the International Institute, we have the LGBTQ Plus Alliance, Erie's Black Wall Street. There are lots of great organizations doing good work in all of those spaces. So that's that session is going to be on Thursday, August 20th from 10:30 to 11:30. And I should mention, all of this information is available on our website, eriepa.com. If you look at our event calendar and click on the dates, you'll see the registration for all of these. And then the final session that we're offering in August is going to be on Monday the 31st. It's a virtual seminar featuring our presenter, Melissa Sulkowski. She's the owner of Nurturance. She's also a professional mediator and a family specialist. Really, really great local expert on effective communication. So I think, you know, across the globe, teams of all kinds are facing this host of new pandemic-induced challenges. Teams are going to be, you know, they're physically distanced right now. They're hosting virtual meetings. They're trying to collaborate from afar. So it's easy for good communication practices to just completely fall apart and get lost in the shuffle. So then we have unproductive meetings, we have decreased morale, and a host of other frustrations. So Melissa has really broken the session down into three parts that she's going to cover in that hour, which is looking at engaging your employees. So how are you valuing strengths and differences, understanding different personalities and learning styles, meeting your employees where they are, understanding that they've got a lot of additional stressors in their lives right now, could be, you know, having kids at home, could be caring for a high-risk family member, could be a host of things. So just understanding and having some compassion for that, but also working that into how you communicate as a team. Also maintaining momentum and preserving company culture, because, you know, we don't want productivity to get lost. So how do we make sure that momentum keeps up? Having intentional meetings, you know, making sure that you're not just having a meeting to have a meeting. I think we've all, it's probably something we've all experienced at one time or another, is sitting in a meeting thinking, why am I here? So now when we've all got more demands on our time and it's becoming harder to balance things, making good use of that meeting time is incredibly important. And then finally, having some fun, creating some team opportunities, whether it's in-person, safely social distance activities, something online, just giving your employees and your team something to look forward to. You know, I think it's easy to focus on a lot of the negative stuff that's happening right now, so giving them something positive to focus on. So Melissa's going to go through all of that in her session on the 31st. And I should mention that all three of these sessions, they're all going to be live. So we're going to be on Zoom calls. You'll have opportunities to interact with the presenters. It's not a pre-recorded webinar situation. So I think that really adds a lot of value to the programs that we're offering for the rest of this month. So that's a lot, but that's what we've got on the docket for the rest of August.
Amanda, would you give an update on where the work on Erie Restart currently stands?
Sure. So we're still working through some things. I think it's been a while since I've given an update on it, but essentially, just to recap a little bit, the structure of Erie Restart is such that we have a task force, which is made up of a lot of our very prominent community leaders. You know, the county executive, we have Tim Nicastro, we have the mayor, lots of business leaders that we rely very heavily on to help us with our initiatives. So they are, the task force is sort of the, I'll say, approval process that exists for the work that comes out of the working subcommittees of Erie Restart. So the goal of Erie Restart was really twofold. One, it was to look at reopening the Erie economy. So how do we just get businesses back up and opened? And then the second part of it is really looking more long-term at a sort of revamp strategy. So understanding that the pandemic has really brought to light some issues that need to be addressed within the Erie economy. And so that's really where our focus is now. We had 6 different virtual town hall sessions where we allowed businesses to come in and give us some feedback on what their experiences have been through the pandemic. I think through that we realized, you know, most businesses didn't need as much help as we initially thought. Finding reopening information, understanding reopening information, I think was another piece of it, but they could find it. But I think, you know, there was some confusion just because things were changing so rapidly. So providing what insight we could through our COVID-19 resource page on our website, that was really our way of contributing to help with that. However, we did realize that there was an overwhelming lack of awareness, awareness of and applications for local and state funding programs. There was, you know, everybody knew about the PPP. Everybody seemed to know about the SBA Emergency Loan Fund. But where we saw sort of a breakdown was for those local and state funding programs, that they were not accessed by as many businesses as we would have liked. So that's something that we feel needs to be addressed. I think through our minority-owned business town hall, we realized that our business outreach efforts to that community, it just really hasn't been enough. It's not that they've been purposefully excluded. It's just that the marketing efforts that have been completed to promote business outreach services or, you know, those loan programs or other support services that exist for businesses in Erie, those marketing efforts just haven't been successful in reaching that market. So that's something that came through as a major priority for not only the chamber, but I think for the economic development system as a whole, is that we just need to do better. We need to do a better job of reaching those businesses, getting them the assistance that they need. And so that's been a large part of what's come through as far as priorities for Erie Restart. Additionally, you know, the tie between transportation and child care and the workforce has become even more evident. You know, there being a requirement for childcare facilities to work at decreased capacities has obviously very negatively impacted people's ability to return to work. So what are we doing about that? Similarly, transportation, people need to be able to get to work. So if buses are operating on decreased capacity or rolled back schedules, that impacts the ability of, in fact, many of our essential workers' ability to get to work. So a lot of challenges there. I think also looking more long-term at, you know, the workplace of the future. How do we set businesses up for success in the areas of remote work and creating more infrastructure to incorporate technology that allows for remote work into their framework? And then I think, too, just looking at some government affairs areas, liability protections really being at the top of that list. I think probably that's one of the most consistent questions that we've received throughout all of this is, you know, what's my my level of liability if one of my employees gets sick or if one of my customers gets sick? Understanding that these businesses need to feel protected, both employers and employees as well as customers. So that's a sort of high-level overview, but I think the short explanation is that Erie Restart has really uncovered a lot of work that still needs to be done. So we're going to be continuously chatting with the task force to figure out how we go about doing all of this and then identifying appropriate partners that can assist with this because the chamber, it's, you know, we just don't have the capacity to do all of this. nor should we be the only one that's working on these. These are priorities that should be addressed by the entire community, so with the chamber leading the charge. So we're excited to continue moving forward, and I look forward to being able to give you even more updates as the months move forward. So we're moving in the right direction. As always, these things take time, but I've been very encouraged by the progress that we've made in the last 5 months.
Amanda, last question. Where can businesses go to access information to help them relaunch?
Yeah, so we, if you haven't visited it in a while, if you go back to our COVID-19 resource page, which is eriepa.com/coronavirus-erie, you'll notice a pretty significant overhaul of that page has taken place. So for a while there, we had new resources coming out every single day. It was frankly a lot, even as the person managing it. I was getting to a point where I was even overwhelmed looking at it every day. So what we have on there now is, you know, we've got some general information from the CDC, from the PA Department of Health, from the Erie County Health Department. But then we've really focused on building out that section of resources for reopening. So we have some general reopening guidance that was provided by the CDC, by the Erie County Health Department, by the PA Department of Health. There's also a really neat tool there that I would highly recommend all businesses take a look at. It was developed by Abby Lechner of Human Capital Associates. It's called the Back to Work Checklist. It is incredibly thorough. I think a lot of businesses were very focused on looking at sort of the immediate concerns as far as, you know, physical changes to their place of business to make it safer for their employees, and rightfully so. I think that's incredibly important. But I think also, you know, looking at compensation and benefits, there's been a lot of changes. And so how are employers clearly communicating those disruptions or changes to their employees? You know, things like health insurance, flex spending accounts, 401ks and pension plans, paid leave. You know, there's potential for a lot of changes and shakeups there. So it's a very long document, but it gives, I think, a great overview of what businesses should be thinking about right now. There's also some industry-specific guidance. Anything that has come out from the PA Department of Health is available there. We've also run into some, I'll say, industry-specific organizations like the Pennsylvania Board of Cosmetology, the Erie Food Policy Advisory Council. They've put out some documents that are helpful, so we've got those up there too. And then also a section for some PPE providers that exist either in the area or in the state. I know PPE is an ongoing concern for local businesses, so there's some resources there for finding that locally. And then we've still got our loan information available there, but I think the focus is really on the resources for reopening. So that's eriepa.com/coronavirus-erie.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Join us again next week as Logistics Plus is in the Business Spotlight.